Joe Jennison is a devout Catholic. He is also a gay man.
I'm a believer now, but I have always struggled with my faith, still do. I think I always will.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Joe Jennison shares seven very personal stories from his life in his one-man show, Confessions of a Gay Catholic. I'll talk with him about his journey and his faith. Later in the hour, the Capitol Theater in Burlington closed in 1977. It was renovated and reopened in 2012. Today, I'll talk with the program director and executive director about the theater, exciting projects, continued challenges, and a creative music festival. Join the conversation after the news.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Later this hour, we'll talk about the beautiful Capitol Theater in Burlington and a very creative music festival. But first, Joe Jennison is here. He is the director of Main Street and Marketing for Mount Vernon and Lisbon. He's also a playwright. He's written many plays over the years, and his most recent is a very personal one-man show. It's called Confessions of a Gay Catholic, and in it, he shares seven stories from his life. It was first performed a little over a year ago in Cedar Rapids, but he's been performing it for many audiences since then, many of them in churches. And Joe is here with me today. Hello, Joe.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so
much.
What
a pleasure.
So much for being here.
She's just as nice in person, ladies and gentlemen.
So, Joe, I have to ask you, this play is so personal. You really bear your soul in this play. Mm-hmm. Tell me, what prompted you to start writing it?
Well, that's a very good question. I went to 12 years of Catholic education. And after high school, I left the Catholic Church. And I started writing, and I've always been a writer. I've been writing plays probably since 1985. And every time I wrote a play, it was always fiction. I always made up these characters, which sometimes were inspired by myself and people I knew, but the stories weren't true. And I had an otherworldly experience in a confessional booth. A friend of mine had encouraged me to go to confession, and this is someone who hadn't been at the Catholic Church for 32 years. And I started that confession at the request of my friend. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 32 years since my last confession. And I went in there, all loaded, ready to just let him have it, you know. Told him, before I start, I want to tell you that I'm a gay man. I lived with a man previously for 15 years, and it was a happy and loving relationship that I don't regret, and I don't consider sinful or evil. Honestly, I feel that my sexuality is innate, and it's permanent, and it's kind of an important part of who I am. And quite frankly, Father, it's none of your dang business. And he responded very quietly. He said, Joe, this is one of those issues for which the Catholic Church has taken a bad rap. I don't care if you're gay or straight or bald or left-handed. This is the Church of Jesus Christ, and all are welcome here. Yes, Joe, all, even you. There's only one thing you need to know. When you come in here to this confessional booth, I am not a priest. I am operating in persona Christi, which is a Latin term, means in the person of Christ. So when you come to this confessional booth, this is a Catholic sacrament, and you are not talking to a priest in here. You are talking to Jesus Christ. And as Jesus Christ, I am telling you that you are 100% good. You belong to me. I created you. I know everything about you. I know every hair on your head. And I love you, Joe. And I always will, just exactly as you are.
So you had that incredibly powerful moment, and that brought you back to the Catholic Church?
That one moment brought me back to the church.
But it was not the end of your struggle with
Absolutely.
The Catholic Church.
Well, I struggle with my faith every day, and I think that all of us of faith would be lying if we didn't say that we struggled sometimes. It's not perfect. There is no such thing in my head as blind faith. You know, I am fighting demons all the time. But I do feel at the Catholic Church that I am loved and respected by the one person that matters.
What prompted you to write this show, which is not... You share that story in the show, but you share many other stories, starting
Correct.
Back when you were a young child
yeah.
in the church. What was the moment that made you think, I need to share this?
Yeah. Well, it was kind of a slow evolution. The main thing was that confession that really changed my life. But I was involved with a writing group. We called ourselves the Black Doggers. Okay, and we met every other week in my house in Mount Vernon. And there's a woman in that group that shared a very personal story about an abortion. And it was so raw and so real and so inspiring that was really what pushed me over. And so I went from writing fiction to writing nonfiction. So... The big difference, the change my writing has taken, is the fact that I'm telling the stories that are all true now. And it is just so incredibly rewarding to stand up there and share the truth of my heart with people. And I tell you, Charity, after I do this show, there's always several people who are waiting to talk to me, to tell me their story, to share their story about their church, whatever denomination, and their issue with the church, not always gay people. There's a lot of people that have lots of issues with a lot of churches for a lot of reasons. But they really are appreciative that there's someone there telling this story and allowing them to share as well. It's been a really great, great experience for me.
The way you start the show is actually very different from the rest of the show.
Right.
But I would love for you to share a little bit from the first thing you do in the show, which is reading a letter that you wrote to your priest.
Yes. So over the years, there's been several priests in my life, and several priests have read this. And almost all of them tell me that, without question, there is nothing against Catholic doctrine in my piece. So I feel very supported, and every time I go to confession, I feel very supported with what I'm doing. Oftentimes, what a priest might say in a confessional booth does not necessarily coincide what is being said on the pulpit in the sermon, right? So after gay marriage became legal in Iowa, and I had been going back to Catholic Church, and I'd found this priest that I just absolutely adore. I won't tell you what city or what parish. And he offered a sermon against gay marriage in Iowa, which clearly hurt me. And from someone sitting in the audience that has spoken to him in confession a number of times, it just really broke my heart. I'm going to read just a part of this to you. Mm-hmm. So this is a letter, the actual letter I wrote to my priest. I heard you say during the homily that Catholics should now be 20 times more resolved to show by example that heterosexual marriage is the one true choice. I heard you say that the Pope and most of the bishops are with you on this. I heard you say that there are always a few wacky bishops out there who disagree. The inference is that those who are not called to heterosexual marriage are, in essence, wacky, rogue, or not in line with the Catholic hierarchy. Am I wrong? Did I misunderstand you? What I love about your parish is that we start every Mass by standing up in front of God and everyone, and we say, I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Every Sunday, I am encouraged by that very prayer because, yes, I am a sinner, but so is everyone else in the congregation. and that during the Mass, I am not a second-class citizen at all, but rather on equal footing with everyone in attendance. After your sermon on Sunday, I felt less than the rest of the congregation, less in the eyes of you and the Pope and the bishops. I know that I am not. Honestly, you have heard my confessions. Are my sins any worse than anyone else's in that church? I don't think so. However, after your sermon, I felt very much that you were indeed making that decree. I am less because I am not a married, heterosexual man with children. I know that I will never be your ideal Catholic, but I also know that I am loved beyond measure by God, just exactly as I am. Where was that in your sermon? If you said it, I missed it. We are losing quality gay Catholics every day because they feel unloved, misunderstood, and unwelcome. This is the church I was raised in. And once again, on Sunday, I felt the door closed to me. If gay people are not welcome at your church, Father, then quite frankly, your church is not Christian.
And you never received a response to that letter.
Nope, I never received a response. I did continue going to confession, and we held up that confessional booth line for about 45 minutes where we had a long discussion about this. And I have since left that church and found another one where I feel welcome. So
you start with that letter, but then you take us back in time to your childhood,
yep.
Which you have stories of a Catholic childhood that sound a lot like other stories that I've heard, you know, a little bit of fear of the nuns and things like that. Mm-hmm. But you, as I mentioned, I mean, you really bear your soul and you share some incredibly personal moments with the audience. Was that a struggle at all to decide how personal you wanted to go?
You know, I just made that decision and with inspiration by that other writer I told you about, that it was just time. And, you know, I didn't think I ever had anything to say. You know, that's why I made up stories. I didn't really think I had anything to say. And then I realized that I actually do. And I have a lot of things to tell people, others that feel the same way, that have issues of their own that need someone to stand up and say this and give them the permission to come out and tell their own stories.
By making yourself so vulnerable, is that a tool that you think you use to unlock that vulnerability in your audience?
Well, that's a very good, you're good at this. Oh my gosh, she's a professional, ladies and gentlemen. I've never had that question before, but I do know that it happens. I don't know that I was thinking that was done with forethought at all, but it does happen. Yeah, I've had many, many people come up to me and tell me stories of their own and write stories of their own and send them to me. And that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm with Joe Jennison. He is a playwright. He's written many plays, but his most recent is called Confessions of a Gay Catholic. It's a one-man show. He shares 7 very personal stories from his life. We'll continue in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. My guest right now is Joe Jennison. He is director of Main Street and Marketing for Mount Vernon in Lisbon. He is also the creative force behind the soon-to-open sing-along bar and grill in Mount Vernon. And he is a playwright. He's written many plays and had them performed over the years. His most recent is called Confessions of a Gay Catholic. It's about an hour and a half, one-man show where he shares 7 very personal stories from his life and explores his relationship with the Catholic Church. And Joe, you share stories from when you were a young child and also as you were growing and beginning to understand your sexuality. You also say that you felt unwelcome in the church before you even fully understood your own sexuality. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Well, I 12 years of Catholic school, raised Catholic. So I knew from a very early age that being gay did not fit with the church. And I don't know if that was said during Mass. I don't remember anything about the people that I was around. Family and friends made it very clear, homophobic remarks, etc., that I knew that this was not going to work. And so when I graduated high school, I left the church, and all because I didn't feel welcome. And then that magical moment in the confessional booth happened, and I returned, and I've been there since.
Well, let's talk about the kind of pressure of feeling unwelcome in the Catholic Church. I mean, you grew up in the church, but your family was very Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Still are.
This conflict nearly took you to the point of taking your own life.
Absolutely.
Tell me what happened.
We talk about that in the show. So there was a moment, and I believe I was 16, as I remember it. My parents left me home alone with a male adult babysitter. A lot of people think that this is going to go the direction of sexual abuse or something. But I'm here to tell you, I am Catholic, but I was never abused by a priest, never sexually abused. So I just want to get that out of the way. All priests were very, very professional and loving to me. All priests. So my father left me alone with this live-in babysitter for the weekend. That live-in babysitter, for whatever reason, left early on Sunday night and didn't stay over that final night. And there's a moment when I come out to my father that's in the piece. May I read it to you?
Yeah.
What you don't know about that weekend, Dad, is that your college-age live-in babysitter left early, didn't fulfill his part of the agreement. He left Sunday afternoon instead of staying over that final Sunday night. He asked me not to tell you, and I didn't until now on this piano bench today. I am 23 years old now, but then that night, 7 years ago now, at 16, I went into your bedroom after he left. I sat on the edge of your bed and waited for a miracle. Alone in your house, this house upstairs, I pulled out the pistol that you kept in the top drawer of your dresser, and I found the bullets to your gun in the bottom drawer stuffed inside a pair of your rolled-up socks. I loaded the gun. I spun the chamber. I pulled back the hammer. I stuck it to my head, and I waited. I am 23 years old now. But then I was ready to destroy everything with one terrible, complete, and final fatal blow. And all because of what I knew would be your reaction, my family's reaction, the church's reaction to having a gay son. And a miracle. One phone call from one innocent, decent person just to check on me. And the babysitter calls, felt bad about leaving you early, buddy. And I just wanted to see that you were okay. After that call, I thought about him, the college-age live-in babysitter. How unfair would my suicide be to him? How would it affect his life and his family's life for generations? I didn't stop then to think about my father or my family. I really thought I was doing all of them a favor. I stopped myself then because one person reached out. And of course, this person has no idea. He has no idea, even now, that he saved my life.
Wow. Although his life would have been incredibly altered by
Absolutely.
That action. That moment in the play, you're telling your dad about this because he's having a hard time accepting that you're gay.
Well, at the time, and again, all of these stories as I remember them, I'm sure my father is listening. He hasn't actually heard this. So I didn't want him to go because I think I'd be too nervous to do this in front of him. But we're very good friends now. I want your audience to know that. I have breakfast with him every Saturday morning, see him 3 times a week. And I'm so glad that my father lived to be 84. So that we could become friends, you know. We are working together on this sing-along bar and grill. So we've got this project we're working on together, which has just been such a huge rewarding experience to me. But we've struggled in our relationship. But, we're beyond it all now, of course.
When you wrote this show and performed it not this past April, but the April before. I can only imagine that it was scary to open up in front of audiences like that. But since then, you've been invited to perform the show in many churches.
Yeah.
Did you anticipate that?
Did I anticipate it? I guess I'd always hoped that.
Yeah.
I feel that this story needs to be told in Catholic churches all over the country. And we've talked about this off the air, but I have been invited to Catholic churches and then uninvited a couple times. And it's still
controversial. With an explanation or not?
Not necessarily an explanation, no. But honestly, it's still controversial in 2018, which seems silly to all of us here, doesn't it? But I don't feel controversial. Charity, I feel like I'm just me, you know? If you'd meet me, I don't look controversial. I say in my show, I am not an activist. I'm really not an activist. I'm just a hurt child of God who still sometimes feels unwelcome at the church I was baptized in. It just seems so whack to me.
Well, why do you think it's been important for you to be a part of the Catholic Church? There are many other Christian churches that are more open, more welcoming for gay men. Mm. Why stay with the Catholic Church?
I think the Catholic Church is better with me in it than me outside of it. And I would say that to anyone who feels unwelcome at their church. Keep going back. Every church would say all are welcome. That's what they say. Sometimes you drive by these churches, you see it on their signs. All are welcome here. They say it when you walk in the door. Welcome. Thanks for coming. But the truth is, you know, some of the stuff I've been through, I went to become a member of a particular Catholic church, and they gave me a form. What's your name? What's your wife's name? These are the first questions on this form. What are your children's names? You know? Well, that form doesn't fit me. Does that mean I don't fit here? You know? So many, many reasons that still I don't feel welcome. I know we won't get to it, but there's a story that I tell later about another priest who said something from during his sermon. He said for those who are struggling with same-sex attraction, there is help, is what he said. And it just broke my heart. And instead of walking out the door and writing a letter, I chose to walk right up to him after Mass and just tell him straight up, hey, you need to know, I am not struggling with same-sex attraction. I'm gay and I'm different, but I can no more change my sexuality than I could my eye color. You need to really think about this before you offer more sermons like this. There are people that are offended by the words that you're saying within the context of the Mass. So anyway, that's the big shift that happens in this play. All of a sudden, I guess I become an activist, which I don't mean to be. I just want to feel loved and welcome.
I'm talking with Joe Jennison. We're talking about his one-man show, the play that he wrote, Confessions of a Gay Catholic. And Joe, I'm still having a hard time understanding why it's been so important for you to stay in the Catholic Church. I mean, you left for 32 years. Mm-hmm. And as you said, you know, most churches will say all are welcome here. And you want people who don't feel welcome to stay in that community and fight for their place in that community. But you're missing out on an experience that so many people have in their church community, mm-hmm. to feel welcomed and loved, mm-hmm. all parts of you.
Well, you know, I've been offered that several times. Find a nice Episcopal church, Joe. Find a nice, I've been invited to my local Presbyterian church. I don't know how many times. And I've been there. I've performed there. And I love that church and those people very much. But this is the church I was baptized in. This is the church I was raised in. It's important to me to feel the holy water and to taste the Holy Communion. It's important to me to have these sacraments that I learned about as a child. Confession is a sacrament performed by a priest, and that's my faith. So I have to stay. So they're just going to have to learn to love me. because I ain't walking out.
But you did for 32 years.
I did, yeah.
When you were away from the Catholic Church for those years, did you think about trying another church?
I tried several churches. It was not the same. And I know, Charity, you won't be able to understand this, but there is a certain magic in the Catholic Church that I feel when I walk in the door. That holy water stings a little when I put it on. You know, we believe that the bread is changed magically into the body of Christ. That is something I can't find at another church. And I'm sure others have different stories, but this is my story. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to speak for all gay people, and I don't mean to speak for all Catholic people. This is my story, and I don't feel I would enjoy another experience as much as I enjoy this one.
How do you think telling your story in this way has changed you?
Mm. Well, it's actually strengthened my faith. Absolutely. I didn't think, and you talked earlier, you asked me that question about that first time I performed it and was I scared?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really interesting because the first time I performed this entire piece, that Friday night, I was in a bar in Mount Vernon where I live, and a gentleman called me over to his table, and he said something very homophobic to me directly, someone I know and love and trust in my town. First time, 8 years living in Mount Vernon, that had ever happened. And I told my friends about this. They were all at that show, that first show, ready in case he walked in. I don't know what they were going to do, but they were standing guard to look over me. So, yes, I was scared. But certainly after that first time I performed it, I knew I had something very special and had an important story to tell.
You mentioned people coming to you and telling you their stories.
Yeah.
And not necessarily similar stories, mm-hmm. different stories.
Right.
What has that meant to you to have people open their hearts to you mm-hmm. and bare their souls?
That's the most rewarding part of the whole experience. And I can always see it, you know, when I perform in churches, you know, the lights are all on and I can see every face. So I can see the ones that are being moved.
A minister or a priest.
I guess perhaps, yeah. I want you to tell the rest of the audience right now that there is no halo over my head. Can you?
I can attest to that.
I am no saint by any means. I am no minister. I am not a biblical scholar. I had one class in religious studies in college, but no, this is all my personal story. I'm happy to minister if someone needs it, but I would direct them to a professional. I have no degrees in this. I'm just telling my story and love hearing others.
What happens next for you as a writer? I mean, you said that you wrote fiction for so many years,
yeah.
and then this very true, very personal, very real story.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go from here?
I never say never, but I don't think I'll ever write fiction again. Every day, I find stories in my everyday life. I live in a beautiful little town, and as you know, I do lots of projects there. There's plenty of fodder in my real life to write nonfiction stories, and I'm planning to write many, many more.
You have found right now a Catholic Church that you feel welcome in.
I do indeed.
That you feel
yep.
accepted.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel the Catholic Church is changing? I mean, with the leadership of Pope Francis, there have been a lot of changes.
Mm-hmm. I love my Pope. I love my Pope. I am. He is such an incredible, humble man. I think the change is going to be slow. But I do believe I will feel welcome. We will all feel welcome in the Catholic Church eventually.
What advice would you have to someone right now who is struggling with feeling accepted in their church?
Oh, my gosh. You just set that up, didn't you? This is what I would tell them. Charity, listen. You are 100% good. You belong to me. I created you. I know everything about you. I know every hair on your head. And I love you, and I always will, just exactly as you are. That's what I would tell him. That was from Jesus in the confessional.
What is your next project? You're working on a piano bar, a player piano bar that's supposed to open any day now.
Yeah, my voice is a little hoarse because I've been singing all week. But we're going to be opening this week in Mount Vernon. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to have a hymn sing on Sunday mornings. We're going to be singing old hymns around a player piano during our brunch service. So at night, we'll sing show tunes and we'll sing popular songs. And it's a hoot. I've seen so many people sing around that piano, and you look around the room and there's smiles on their faces. They're having a ball. Come sing with me, Charity. You a singer?
I am not.
Your kids sing?
They do.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Well, they're all welcome.
All right.
So sing along, right? We don't do karaoke. Everybody sings together, so we drown each other out.
So, Joe, it sounds like it's your personal mission to share as much joy as you can with the world. Does that sum you up?
As is yours, dear heart. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for talking
with me. Oh, my gosh. It's over already?
It's over already.
What a ball. I'll come back tomorrow, okay?
Okay. All right. Perfect. Joe Jennison, his one-man show is called Confessions of a Gay Catholic. It was first performed a little over a year ago in Cedar Rapids, but he's been performing it in churches ever since. He is also the creative force behind the soon-to-open sing-along bar and grill in Mount Vernon and the director of Main Street and Marketing for Mount Vernon and Lisbon. Coming up in just a moment, we'll talk about the beautiful Capitol Theater in Burlington and a very creative music festival. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.